This morning we're kicking off a series called What on Earth Am I Here For? I'm really excited about some different things that God, that I know that God's going to do through this series and the things that are going to take place. I'm just very excited about that. And so for the next 5 weeks after today, we're going to be really looking at the answer of this question. What on earth am I here for? Perhaps you've asked that question. Perhaps you've asked that in a little different way. But what I find is at some point in our life that we ask that question at some point in time, and different things that we take, that we go through with in life, the different stages of life that we may be facing. And so for the next 5 weeks after this week, we're going to be looking and answering that question and just allowing God just to answer that question for us. And so that'll take about 40 days that we'll be going through that. You know, in the Bible, 40 days is a significant number. It uses it several different times. It talks about that Moses was up on the mountain with God for 40 days. It talks about that it rained for Noah 40 days and 40 nights. It talks about Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And there's so many different times that it uses 40. And every time that it uses the number 40, something significant is taking place. And I truly believe that something significant is going to take place in this series and can take place in your life. And so in that, the next 40 days, there's really three things that I've been asking the Lord to do. First of all, is to see more people engaged in their faith and in relationships than ever before. The second thing is this, to see people understand their life's purpose more than they ever have and understand it in a better way than they ever have before. And the third thing is simply this, to see the spiritual temperature of the bridge rise to a new level than it's ever been before. And these are just a few of the things that I'm asking the Lord to do during this series. There's a few things in them that I want to also just ask you to do. First of all, I just want to encourage you to pick up this book. We're giving them away for free on our welcome table right outside of this door. And we're going to be taking some time to read through this together. So I just encourage you to pick it up and begin reading through it starting today. The chapters take, if you're a slow reader like me, they take maybe about 10 minutes to go through. If you're a fast reader like my wife, you'll probably read through them a lot faster than that. But just take some time to do it. The other thing I want to encourage you on this is, I know there are some overachievers in this room. And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to overachieve and like read half of this book today and the other half tomorrow and you're done. I want to encourage you to slow down with the rest of us that are just a little bit slower and actually read just one chapter, one daily reading a day for the next 40 days and allow that just to sink in with you. The second thing I want to ask you to do is to get into a community group. I just encourage you for the next 6 weeks during this study, just take time to commit to being a part of a community group. There were some cards that were scattered across your seats that you could, that has some different times of some existing groups right now that you can sign up with, or some, I say existing, that are starting this week, that are kicking off with this new study. And so I just encourage you, you can sign up for one of those, or maybe you just want to start with a group of your own. You can find one person and ask them if you want to, hey, do you want to, will you study through this book with me and through the material that we'll be glad to provide you? And then that person can go find one more person, and you can have a group maybe that meets for early in the morning, maybe meets during your lunch hour. You can start your own group, because the scripture says where there are two or three gathered together, the Lord is with us. And the third thing I encourage you to do is just invite a friend. I truly believe that you know someone that is asking that question in their life that could be very beneficial to them. And so in that, I want us to stop and think this morning, and David kind of alluded to it several times, but sometimes life is awesome, and sometimes life is very challenging and difficult and hard. Sometimes our stories are beautiful, and sometimes our stories are very, very brutal. And I heard someone say this week that their story was brutal. And I really loved that when I stopped and I thought about the way that it was, because I find that life does not play by my rules. Every time I think that I begin to get life figured out, every time that I think maybe I get everything in my life figured out, maybe you got your dating life figured out, maybe you got your marriage figured out, maybe you got your career figured out, that something happens and just turns that over upside down. And just to be able to stop and think, you know what, that my life is brutal and that's okay. And we stop and we think about that. And I believe sometimes when our life is turned upside down, that's exactly when we begin to ask the question, what in the world am I here for? One of my favorite things to do when I was growing up was to go to my grandparents' house. I love to go and spend time with them any chance that I got. My parents parents tell me that I would have just moved in with them, my grandparents, if they would have let me. And we'd go over there and we'd have this incredible time every time. But every once in a while when we go over there, you would walk in, there would be this special table set up in the living room. And on that table, there would be a puzzle. And I'm not talking about one of those six-piece kid puzzles, even though those are my favorite puzzles because I can actually do those kinds of puzzles. But there would be one of those puzzles, that like that 1,000, 1,500-piece puzzles. And I would look at that thing and I'd think, that is a lot of pieces. And honestly, what I would do a lot of times is watch everybody else put it together. And so the things that I noticed was this. The first 2 hours, they made a lot of progress. They would start on the edges, the straight edges, and they would begin making the lines and the outline of the puzzle. If you've never done one of that size, I encourage you to start with the edges and not try to start with the middle. And they would put those together and then make a lot of progress. And then maybe the puzzle had a picture of a face or something like that, so they could start seeing some eyes go together or a nose go together. And they would get a few pieces put together, and then they would get to like the sky. The sky is very difficult. Everything is blue. How in the world do you put that together? And if I were to walk in there and I would stare at these pieces laying there, like I would find one piece in like an hour to be able to put in its place. And everything would just seem to come to that halt. It's like all that was left was these difficult pieces. And at times it took a few days for them to get it all put together. And then the one thing that would drive me crazy the most is this. You get the entire piece of the puzzle together, and there is one piece missing. And with my OCD, that would just drive me crazy. I would start looking under the couch cushions. I would look under the couch. I would try to find it anywhere that I possibly could. I come to the conclusion, and I'm still pretty sure about this, that my sister would just hide one of the pieces on purpose just so that I couldn't be able to find it. But I'm not quite so sure. What I want us to realize this morning is simply this. Our lives in so many ways are like that puzzle. We have seasons of life that we seem to make a lot of progress. And we have seasons of life where it seems like we're just left holding these very difficult pieces. And then we even have these seasons of life that sometimes that we just have these missing pieces and we don't even know for sure what the answer is and what is going on. And I believe this series is going to help you find some very significant pieces to your puzzle in your life. So at the end of this, that your pieces and your puzzle is beginning to make a lot more sense and coming together a whole lot more. And I want us to look today at just a few questions. And I believe if we begin to answer these few questions, then we can begin to put some very significant parts of your story and my story together. And when I meet someone who's 20 years old, I see that they're asking this question. And I can find someone who's even 70 years old at times, and they're asking these exact same questions. And the first question is this. Who am I? Who am I? And maybe this is a question that you only have to ask one time and you kind of put it together. Maybe you were in middle school when you asked it. Maybe you were in high school graduating. Maybe you graduated from college, or maybe after you got married, you're asking this question, who am I? And you begin to get put together and you never ask that question ever again. But what I have found in my own life is this. Different circumstances cause me to ask that question over and over and over again. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 18, Jeremiah says this, why was I ever born? Why was I ever born? Here you have a prophet that asks a lot of the same question that we ask. Who am I? Why am I here? Why was I ever born? At this particular time, he became so depressed and so discouraged of what God had called him to do. He's like, threw up his hands and said, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what's going on. I just don't get it. Who am I? And so maybe you're here this morning and you're asking that question, who am I? And we're going to answer that question over the coming weeks. And the second question is this, does my life matter? In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4, Isaiah says this, but my work seems so useless. I have spent strength for nothing and to no purpose. Here another prophet is saying, you know what? My life, my work, everything that I've done so far up to this point seems useless. Why have I done it? And he goes on there and he continues to say, I spent my strength for nothing. What I do not know what my purpose in life is. And we see another prophet asking that question here. And I see, when I think about this idea of does my life matter, I really believe that everybody here is on one of three different levels. Some of you here are just on your survival level. And the truth is, you're just trying to get by to the next day, much less the next week or month. And everything about your life right now is just about survival. It's just about getting by. And the next level I find is this. It's our success level. And the success level, everything is going good. Your marriage is good. Your finances are good. Everything seems to be going your way. Life is doing well. But for some reason, it's just not enough. Something is missing. And for us to really be able to answer that question, does my life matter? Then we really got to get to the significance level. This is where you know who you are, why you are here. This is when the pieces of the puzzle really start coming together. And you can really begin to see it. And the third question is this, why am I here? What's my purpose? What on earth am I here for? And over the next few weeks, I truly believe we can make some significant progress in our puzzle. We can make some significant progress in the answers to this, and some pieces can come together. What I've learned is there's no shortage of people willing to give you answers for those three questions. You can Google those three questions and Google will be glad to give you a lot of different answers. There are a lot of well-meaning parents that will gladly give you the answer to those three questions. There are a lot of opinionated siblings that would gladly answer those questions for you. There's also a lot of your well-meaning friends that will be glad to answer those questions for you. But the problem is this. The problem is we don't understand the unique complexities God has put into your life. So it's real easy for us to try to give you this 1-2-3-step formula that I've come up with that I was able to answer those questions in my life. But your life is very unique and very complex, and it's totally different than my life. And we have to begin and understand the unique complexities of how God have made you and wired you. Because your personality and the way that God has made you and wired you is totally different than the way that God made me and wired me. And we have to stop and think about that. And this series is not based on a formula, but it's really based on some five purposes that God has for our life and that he has laid out there for us. Today, I just simply want to introduce you to this journey that we're going to begin together as we move forward. And I want you to think of some other people in your life that maybe need to move forward and would need some significant pieces of their puzzle together as well. And as we begin discussing this question, what on earth am I here for? There's a few things I want us to realize. I want us to look this morning at four guideposts. And these guideposts, they really just kind of guide us along the way. Maybe you've been at Six Flags and you've driven one of those cars that you can't run off the road because it's on this particular track, and you can let your 4-year-old drive and it kind of goes one direction. You might bang a little bit and you'll go the other direction. It might bang a little bit. But I believe if we can use these four guideposts in our life, they will help us begin to answer these questions. The first thing I want you to realize is this, and be able to say is this, I believe my story matters. Your story is being written right now. It continues to be written each day that you live. One of my favorite scriptures, and some of you have heard me read this scripture before, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Some of us, we have a hard time looking at our story and saying, my story actually matters. But when God writes in the scriptures, he says, he looks at you and says, you are my masterpiece. I've created you. In fact, I created and knew and planned out the things for you a long, long time ago. And we just need to stop and be honest. If we stop and be honest, for some of us, there's some pages of our story that we just wish we could just rip out. There's some chapters in our story that we wish we could just hit the delete button and they would just go away. So for some of us, we need to realize this. We are not too messed up to matter. You're not too messed up to matter. No matter how messed up you feel, how many chapters that you feel like you need to delete out of your life, how many pages you would like to rip out, you're not too messed up to matter. You've heard me say from time to time, it's okay not to be okay. And the reason that I like to say that is I'm hoping someday that you actually believe that. We don't have to show up, put a smile on our face, and act like everything is perfect, and I live in a perfect world and a perfect life, because it's not true. And realize that we are okay not to be okay. Your mistakes and your screw-ups are what a part that makes you unique and authentic. I find people are attracted to your strengths, but they connect with your weaknesses. And when your struggles connect with someone else's struggles, something divine happens. That's why we desire to be a church where we are real about our struggles, where my struggles connect with someone else's struggles, and we're able to walk with each other through those particular times. If you don't get anything out of this series or anything else out of this message, I want you to realize you were created to be loved by God, that God truly loves you. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And yes, you're loved the way that you are. You're loved even though you've made unwise choices. You're loved even though you walk willfully into sin. You're loved even if your family, your marriage is dysfunctional. But many times we don't feel loved. And to begin to realize and answer these questions, we have to realize that our story matters and that God can use our story no matter how messed up that we feel like it is. The second guidepost is this: I'm unashamed of what I love and care about. In Psalm 139, verse 16 says this: you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. And I look at that scripture and I stop and think, just really thinking about it. As he's writing here, he says, you saw me before I was ever born. Everything about me was already recorded. Every detail that you already knew about. And every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What we need to realize is there are real reasons about the things that you truly love and care about. God has wired you that way. God has made you that way. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. I don't know about you, but there's been points in times in my life I'm like, I wish I was like someone else. I wish I had their talents, their abilities. I wish I was more like them. And the truth is, I was ashamed about the things that I loved and cared about. I was ashamed that I wasn't as good as somebody else at something else. I wasn't made a different way. For some of us, maybe this happened happened with your parents, that your parents began just teaching you different things and telling you different things and began telling who you are. Or maybe it was in middle school when people just began telling you who you were. Or maybe just different things happened in your life. But somewhere in your story, you learned what society expects from you. And what society expects from you, you begin to do everything exactly that way. And what happened on so many different levels is this: we have allowed the critics to shape us instead of allowing God to mold us. So what we've done is, so we've been shaped by critics instead of molded by God. And so what I want you to realize is this morning, and have this guidepost over this series that kind of keeps us going the right direction, is that I'm unashamed about what I love and I care about. God has given me some passions that he hasn't given the person that I'm sitting next to passions. He hasn't given the passions that my wife has that I have. And I don't have to be ashamed about that, because God has wired me in a way that he can use me in the way, the things that I love and I care about. And we need to stop allowing our critics to mold us and allow God to shape us and mold us. I feel like at points in our life, that sometime in our life, things, as we begin to do things, we just begin to feel this emptiness inside. And many times it's because we're living someone else's story. Because we're ashamed of our own, and we're acting and doing things that someone else has told us to do. We need to be able to live our life and to say, I was made for this. God made me, and I was made for this. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. But what I want you to realize is, when you find the things that you love and care about and you say, I was made for this, doesn't mean that the rest of your life is simple, great, and easy, and nothing ever goes wrong again. But I'm hoping over the next few weeks that more of us begin to grasp our purpose. And we grasp the way that God made us. And we grasp the way that God wired us together. And the third guidepost is simply this. I'm honest about my obstacles and opportunities. I'm honest about my obstacles and opportunities. For some of us, when we look at our story, it's hard for us to really be honest about our story to begin with. We want our story to sound better than it was. Maybe some of us want it to sound worse than it was. But it's truly hard sometimes for us just to be simply honest about our obstacles that we are facing in our life. But everybody sitting in here, and a whole lot more people that you work with, and the people that you come in contact with, they have obstacles in their life right now. We just want to begin to be able to be honest about those obstacles. There might be something that you're facing in your marriage. There might be something that you're facing financially. It might be that you're dealing with depression. It might be a lot of different things, but there's some type of obstacle in your life that's keeping you from answering the question, what on earth am I here for? But not only do we need to be honest about our obstacles, we have to be honest about our opportunities. Many times we don't want to see the opportunities that God puts in front of us. We don't want to see the things that God really wants us to do and the answer to that question. Because if I see the opportunity and admit it and I'm honest about it, that means I need to take advantage of the opportunity. So we'd rather act like the opportunity is not there. We'd rather act like we don't know the answer to that question, because I don't want to walk through and follow that opportunity, because that means I have to do something maybe that I'm uncomfortable with. That means I have to do something that overcomes that obstacle that's keeping me from doing that. But to have a guidepost in our life, we have to be honest about our obstacles and our opportunities. And the fourth thing is this: I'm fully present in my life. I'm fully present in my life. This one may come sound a little strange at first, but have you ever been talking to someone and they're present and they're there standing right in front of you, but for some reason they're definitely not fully present? Their mind is in another world. They're thinking about something else. You might as well be talking to yourself, because nothing is going and nothing, they're not listening. And many times in our life, when we ask ourselves, what on earth am I here for? We need to be fully present. That means I need to be listening. That means I need to be fully present, fully invested in what's going on. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 says this: a farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. And I'll read that scripture and I wonder how many times in our life that we're waiting for this perfect opportunity to find this answer to what on earth am I here for. We're waiting for this perfect opportunity to be able to live out our purpose. And we're waiting for it to be so perfect. It's just the same way as the scripture says, I'm waiting for that perfect weather. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm just not going to be able to live out my purpose. And or if the cloud never comes and the rain never comes and this never happens, then I can't live out my purpose. But we need to be fully present. And actually, Esther chapter 4, verse 14 says this: perhaps this is a moment for which you have been created. As you look at your life in the days and the weeks to come and years to come, I think we can look at this scripture and say what it really is, the time, the perfect moment that I've been created. As long as God leaves us on earth, he has a purpose for us. And every day, I believe we could get up and say, you know, perhaps this is the moment for which I've been created. And I live out that day with such fullness and with such purpose and with such life. And I began to really be able to answer the questions, who am I? Does my life matter? What is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. As we begin to search and think about the answer to this question, for some of us, we're carrying around some very heavy burdens. And we've been carrying them around for a long time, and way longer than we should have. And for us to be able to actually live out our purpose, we're going to have to trust God with some of our burdens. And we're going to have to let go of some of those. And I love this scripture at the end that says, I will give you rest. This is not the kind of rest that comes from your two-week vacation. Because if you're like me, I go on a two-week vacation, and I think I need another two-week vacation to get over that vacation. And this is not the kind of rest that comes from that two-hour nap, even though I highly recommend two-hour naps, and I actually love to take two-hour naps. But it's not the kind of rest that comes from those two-hour naps. This is talking about some soul rest. In this series, we're answering some big questions. And we're putting together some big pieces of the puzzle together. And coming to Jesus and asking for rest will give us clarity that only he can give us. If you have 70 years total to live on this live your life, there are about 25,550 days that you live. And so as we live, if you only live to 70, you have 25,550 days, give or take a few. And I think about those precious days, each day that maybe we're missing out on our purpose and not living the life that God created us to and not finding that answer, is a day is a little bit wasted. And it's a little bit put behind us, and we struggle through it. And so this morning, I just simply want us to begin to answering the three questions. And over the next 5 weeks, wouldn't it just make sense if we only have up to around 25,550 days that we just took the next 5 weeks and just committed to being present and being here and begin to learning about what I'm really here for? You know what? I know it can be a commitment. Oh, to commit to being somewhere 5 weeks in a row. But I just really believe it's wise when we think about the time that we have. What on earth are we here for? And we look at that question just to be able to find some clarity and see what God's going to do during the next 5 weeks that we are here. David's going to come this morning, and we're going to have a time of worship. This morning, I just wanted to begin laying out some questions that we're going to answer over the next 5 weeks. I wanted you to begin to think about, you know what, I ask that question from time to time, who am I? Or maybe I have the answer to that question. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, does my life really matter? Because some days it really doesn't seem like it. Or what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for?